are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my work there. Also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rutino, and you can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rutino and check him out on the pre- and post-game show for Valley Sports Wisconsin. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, so that you get notified whenever we post a new episode. And we post episodes weekly, Monday through Friday. So make sure that you are subscribed to get notified when those get posted. On today's episode, we're going to be doing a mailbag episode. I'm going to be on vacation the last couple of days of the week, so I wanted to go ahead and get a mailbag episode out with the off day coming on Thursday. So a lot of great questions submitted by all of you on Twitter. Probably won't have time to get to all of them in this episode, but I promise we will get to them. I'll roll them into an episode next week. But a lot of great questions. Appreciate you submitting those in. Really do appreciate all the support that you give us on Twitter and listening to the podcast, downloading the podcast. Really do appreciate all of the support. So before we get into those questions, I remind you about our Locked On MLB podcast. Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So this will be just a straight-up full mailbag episode. We're going to dive right into these questions. And Vinny, the first question is a little uncomfortable, but I wanted to address it. I kind of talked about it a couple of podcasts ago, I believe on a podcast last week, but I didn't have you on for that one. So I wanted to bring it up, let you get a chance to talk about it. But the question comes from Noah Olinchik. Says, why is Jackie Bradley Jr. continuing to get at bats? And I think the easy answer to that is just because the Brewers can't afford the opportunity to give him at bats and because they wanted to keep Lorenzo Cain fresh. But I think the point Noah's trying to make there, and you know, the way I see it is Jackie Bradley Jr. is just a black hole in the lineup right now. I mean, when he's in there batting eighth and the pitcher ninth, I mean, you essentially have two spots at the bottom of your lineup that are pretty easy outs. And that's just the reality at this point. Jackie Bradley Jr. has just not been able to get it going at the plate. I think he's pressing on defense. He made a couple of really bad throws in a game the other day. I think he's trying to make up for his lack of offense by doing what he's really good at on defense, but maybe trying to overdo it a little bit, knowing he's just not getting it done at the plate. But Vinny, I don't know your thoughts on JBJ, kind of what they do with him going forward. For me, he's simply just a defensive replacement off the bench.
Yeah, JBJ is a struggle, obviously, all year long. I mean, he's got a OPS plus of 40 right now and a WAR of negative 0.2, which isn't as bad as I thought it would be. I think his defense just really does elevate your team in terms of and elevate your pitching staff is what I mean. I mean, he did get a big hit the other day to start that big rally, which ended in a walk-off grand slam by Daniel Vogelbach. So, I mean, he's hit some balls hard. He's certainly not – I'm not trying to say that he's swinging the bat well by any means over the consistent basis. I think he had 7 hits since, like, July something, which is kind of crazy to think about. Early July. But this is a guy, you know, I was just trying to find his splits real quick. This is a guy that is a slow starter, just never got it going. And I think they continue to play him just for the fact that, look, maybe he just all of a sudden gets hot and kind of helps them out during the course of, you know, the course of this playoff run that they're in. And that's kind of the only hope. But yeah, I think that's a really good take as well, as far as keeping Lorenzo Cain healthy and just, again, keeping the guy when he's in there defensively. I mean, your pitching staff is elevated They're already really good, and he just helps out. So I think that's kind of where they're at. I mean, it's the guy that's, you know, traditionally in August, he is a 743 OPS guy. September, career 707 OPS guy. He's got a lot of track record for being semi-productive offensively, but just he's a plus. I mean, he's an elite defender. And so I think that's why they keep him in there.
Yeah, and like I said, with the lead they have, you know, I can kind of understand just continuing to roll him out there the rest of the year, see if he can get going, because I think he'll be on the playoff roster. Like I said, just for the very fact for his defense, you can bring him in late at games, and you got, you know, him and Wright and Kane and center. That's really good defense right there. But do you agree, no matter what, I think JBJ will still be on the postseason roster, at least as a defensive replacement?
Yeah, 100% on the postseason roster. I think too, you can match him up against a guy with an elite fastball as well. I think he can hit a fastball. A righty, I would say, with a really good fastball. So I think defensive replacement, pinch hit, pick your spots to pinch hit him and try and match him up well. That's what they're going to do probably.
Yeah. And one thing to note here too, is that, you know, JBJ had an opt out after this season. But I don't think he's going to take that opt out after the year he had. So the Brewers are most likely going to have him again next year at $13 million, which is a pretty big price tag for somebody who is kind of just a defensive replacement at this point. So that could be a tough situation come this offseason to talk about and consider. Next question comes from Tyler Korth. He says Lauer or Hauser as a potential fourth starter in October, who has the edge? I know we kind of touched on this on Wednesday's podcast, Benny, but any more sway there one way or the other with Lauer and Hauser for that fourth start?
I think again, for me, if I'm running the team, if I'm just making a gut call, I'm going to say Hauser, just from the standpoint of I'm kind of biased right now towards Hauser, and just a little bit because I do like how Eric Lauer has pitched all year long, ever since the Detroit Tigers start at AmFam Field. I mean, he's been absolutely lights out. So I'm just a little bit biased just because I've seen the growth and the evolution of an Adrian Hauser. But at the end of the day, they may pick Eric Lauer just because, again, I think we talked about the fielding independent pitching numbers and some of the metrics that he has actually pitched better than Hauser just overall. So you're splitting hairs here. I think they'll probably end up going matchup, whatever matches up against their lineup, depending on righty heavy or lefty heavy type of thing. So it's to be determined. You can't go wrong with either one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Like I kind of talked about on Wednesday's podcast, for me, I would go with Hauser as the fourth starter, mainly because I think Lauer could be a weapon out of the bullpen, and he's kind of been okay in that role, or is at least more used to it probably than Hauser is. I think Lauer's somebody, you know, you could piggyback out off of Hauser if he struggles. You know, every now and then Hauser has those innings where things just get away from him. You know, the big three in the Brewers rotation, as good as they are at times, they can run up high pitch counts and not be able to go deep into games. Perhaps you use Lauer to piggyback with one of them to get through the fifth and sixth or seventh innings. I just think he can be kind of a Swiss Army knife of sorts in the postseason for your team, give you length if you need it, come in and just give you a clean inning if you need it. So I think he plays really good in that role, but like Benny said, it's a great position to be in, to have two really good guys that you can depend on as your fourth starter. I mean, the Brewers are talking about, you know, who's better for their fourth starter with two good options. Most teams are trying to find a good third starter in the postseason right now. So a really good place to be. And then our last question right here before we take a break is from Nick Gagas. One, with our bullpen being so good, do you see Hader being used two innings in the postseason? And do you guys think he would be used in earlier innings if we had to? So I'll go first here, Vinny. I don't think he'll be used in earlier innings. I think Council is going to save him for that ninth inning. It's the way that he's used him all year. I don't really see Hader going two innings because of, like Nick said, because the bullpen is so good, you haven't really needed that from Hader. I guess if you know, Devin Williams came in the eighth and was struggling a little bit, as he has at times, you know, walking batters. Maybe Hader comes in for a 4 or 5 out save, but I definitely don't think that would be, you know, a strategy that Council all of a sudden starts to deploy in the postseason. Do you agree?
I agree with that. I think he's going to manage the bullpen similar to what he's been doing all year long. I think it's been a good recipe. I think it's been able to keep guys fresh, which is huge. I think they do a really good job of that. I think they're taking a page out of like the Dodgers and the Rays playbook in terms of that. So whenever a guy's fresh, they have enough days rest, their stuff ticks up. And that's why, part of the reason why they've been so effective. So that is something that is metric, not necessarily driven. I mean, it's kind of common sense, but at the same time, they have the data to back up what, you know, how to deploy these guys. Right. And it's just, there's some gut feel to it, but there's also some numbers to back it up. And I think they've done a phenomenal job of doing that and keeping guys effective and healthy at the same time.
Yeah. Again, another good problem to have. I mean, the bullpen has been so good. You haven't had to rely on Hader to give you those multiple innings. I think Council would still do it if he had to, but he really just hasn't needed to for a while now. All right, we'll take a break, come back and answer some more of your questions. I'm someone who has always suffered from lack of sleep and can never seem to get comfortable in a mattress. Our friends at Molecule Mattress have helped out in with that. Molecule sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch, not like other foam mattresses. It has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool at night. It has zone reflex layers that adjust with me in all my weird sleep positions, so I never awaken with a stiff neck or sore back, and it's antimicrobial. Molecule Mattress is how elite athletes and me get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule Mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, got some more questions here to get into. Next one comes from Steven Anderson. He says, Yelich has the average returning, but 7 doubles and 2 home runs in 23 games isn't exactly inspiring. His 150 ISO during his hot streak would be the worst since his second year, and that is during a hot streak. Should I be more encouraged by the average or concerned by the missing slugging? And this is something that I addressed a while back, and it's why I don't really consider Yelich fully back yet. Yes, he's been getting hits, but it's more so just his BABIP kind of evening out. You know, he had a lot of unlucky results earlier in the year. That seems to be turning around. He's just finding holes. He has squared up some balls the other way, which is encouraging. But yeah, the lack of power, I mean, that's what you're looking for from Yelich. You need him to be that 30 home run bat in the middle of the lineup, and he's just not there yet, Benny. And so that's why I'm still hesitant to say Yelich is all the way back. Certainly love the fact that he's able to get the hits, and the lineup has improved so much now that there's a lot more power in the lineup that you really haven't necessarily needed the power from him. But, you know, I don't consider him back to that MVP level until we see that power return.
I'd be interested to see if someone could do a study on how many balls exit velo wise and launch angle wise he's hit this year that would have gone out last year. So what I'm saying is similar exit velo, similar launch angle that went over the fence last year. This year, it seems like a bunch of these balls have been getting caught at the warning track or hit for a double. Again, I'm just curious on that, not making excuses for him. I do think that he has been hitting the ball A little bit too much smothering the ball, just in general, a little bit too much on the ground. And what that's from, in my opinion, is just being a little bit tentative at the plate. I think right now he's trusting his swing more than what we saw, obviously, when he was really, really struggling and really looked lost at the plate. Now he doesn't look lost, but now it seems as if he's not as like what we've seen in the past, like in terms of, you know, when you're really trusting yourself, you can just let it go and you know you can backspin a ball. And that's when you really drive the ball to the gaps and over the fence. Now he's hitting those singles, but it's a little bit more, again, it's hard to put my finger on it, but my scouting eyes taking over just doesn't seem as if he's totally trusting his swing yet. And, you know, that's what happens is then you just kind of miss hit just a little bit. It hits some balls on the ground, smother some balls, top hand takes over just a little too much, right? And you will roll over some balls. So that's what I see. I think as he continues to swing the bat well, have good at-bats, he'll just kind of, hopefully, this is the hope, that he'll relax. Again, just learn to let it go a little bit, backspin some balls, and these balls will go over the fence. But I would be interested to see how many of these fly balls with similar exit velos and similar launch angles are getting caught or not going over the fence from last year, just because, again, I do have a conspiracy theory that these balls are a little bit deadened from last year.
Yeah, conspiracy Vinny is back. But, yeah, I know we talked about that a lot earlier in the year. It seemed like the Brewers had a ton of baseballs that were just dying at the warning track. Yelich, obviously, one of the victims of that. So that would be an interesting study to see. I'm sure during the offseason, somebody will have time to run through that for us. But yeah, again, I'm glad he's getting the hits. That's certainly great. I want to see that slugging come up too. It still concerns me a little bit, especially with the back issues he's having. You know, is that, you know, playing a factor in that a little bit, you know, probably. But still, I mean, he's a good hitter. He's getting his hits. Again, the lineup's improved so much. You don't really need the power from him, but certainly would be nice, especially going into the postseason. I'm going to combine these next two questions here, one from Alex Rozechka and another one from Daniel B. Alex says, the last time through the rotation for Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta was not exceptional. Meanwhile, Hauser and Lauer pitched great. Not suggesting they change anything, but is there anything that they could do that would make you change your playoff big three starting pitchers? And so on the surface, just answer that really quickly. I would say no, they're still your three best pitchers. However, I want to follow that up with Daniel B's question. And he said, here's an out-of-the-box thought. Put Hauser or Lauer in the rotation and put Peralta in the bullpen. And Vinny, this is something I've been contemplating here recently, just for the fact that Hauser and Lauer have been so good. And, you know, I talked about Lauer being a weapon out of the bullpen. I think Peralta could be an even bigger weapon out of the bullpen if you use him that way. I'm not saying they should, but just with the way, you know, Peralta's kind of been banged up a little bit here lately, they've been kind of worried about his pitch count, which when it comes to the postseason, you don't really worry about those things. I don't think they'll do it, Vinny, but I think it possibly could be something they fool around with and maybe take Peralta out of the rotation and just use him as kind of that, you know, dynamite arm out of the bullpen, kind of like he was in 2020. And that really plays up in the postseason.
It's a really good thought. It's a really good strategy. I'm sure it's being kicked around right now by the group, by the front office, by Craig Council, by Chris Hook. That's a really interesting thought. I think they'll probably kind of, like we talked about yesterday's kind of ramp Freddie Peralta up and kind of treat this as like a spring training type of situation where they're going to ramp him up, see where his pitch count is, see where his stuff is at, see how he feels, and then kind of go from there in terms of what they're going to do with him. I think if he looks unbelievable, like he has all year, I think there's no possible way you can take him out of the rotation. I mean, you're going to possibly win a World Series. I just think that there's always a contingency with this group, which is smart, and they always try and kind of strategize around the best way to deploy these guys. But it's an interesting thought for sure.
Yeah, and again, like you say, if Freddie Peralta pitches the way he has all year and he can do that over five innings, you keep him in the starting rotation because that's a dominant reliever. And like we've talked about with how good the bullpen has been, it's not like you need Peralta out there because Boxberger, Williams, and Hader, they can cover the last three innings just fine. So, you know, if the bullpen was a little bit weaker and they needed some help out there, then yeah, maybe it makes sense to put Peralta out there. It's kind of that dominating bullpen arm that you need in the postseason. But I'd rather have him starting the game, giving you five dominant innings at the beginning, when because you still have those good arms in the bullpen. Plus, as much as we've talked about Lauer and Hauser and how good they've been, and that's certainly true, they don't exactly have the stuff that you really need in the postseason. So I'm still a little worried about them in a postseason setting just because they don't have the strikeout stuff that the big three have, which is why there's a separation between those big three and Hauser and Lauer. I still think they can get it done, but they rely more on, you know, creating weak contact, rely on a good defense behind them, which the Brewers have, but it's just a little bit more risky than what you would have going out there with Peralta, who, you know, can strike out 10 batters in five innings. So yeah, it definitely, I think a lot plays into how the rest of the season goes for Peralta. Like Benny said, as they ramp him back up, you know, can he get back to that being that dominant, you know, guy that can go five, six innings every time out? If that's the case, I think you definitely keep him in the starter's role. If not, and he's struggling and still kind of a little banged up, then maybe you think about changing his role a little bit. All right, we'll take one more break and then we'll come back and answer some more of your questions. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the games as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or check your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days, it's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So I worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store and just hoping they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket. You can pull them up, find any make and model of any kind of auto part that you need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? They have everything that you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your vehicle, and do us a favor, write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, so just a couple more things here I wanted to touch on before we get out of here. And it'll just be me in this last segment here. Do have some other really good questions that I wanted to get to in another podcast. So if we didn't get to your question in this one, make sure you check out our future podcast, I promise you that we'll get to the rest of those questions with Vinny. But another one here comes from Aaron Stenberg on Twitter, says injuries are the only thing that keep this team from a title. Am I wrong? And, you know, I definitely think Benny would agree with you. He said as much on the podcast, I believe on Wednesday's podcast, even in fact said, you know, this is the title team as is. I certainly can't agree with that, especially with some of the other things we talked about in the podcast already, you know, with just how good this bullpen is. There's just how good the starting rotation is, how deep the lineup is. I mean, they have everything covered. Everybody stays healthy. And, you know, that's not even considering, you know, Yelich being an MVP level player. The lineup is just so deep, so good now that yes, if they're healthy, you know, Escobar, he's come back. He's looked really good coming back from injury. Adames comes back healthy. You know, Avi hit a 420 foot home run coming back from his injury. You know, if he's healthy, then this lineup is absolutely fine. We talked about the 9 2-strike hits that they had on Tuesday's game. I mean, that's the type of stuff a postseason championship lineup does. So this team is definitely capable of winning a World Series if everything stays healthy and the way it is right now. I think the only thing that maybe concerns you a little bit is some of these younger arms who haven't pitched a lot of innings, didn't pitch a lot of innings in 2020. If they tire out some in the postseason, I think the Brewers have done a great job of trying to limit that and make sure that they are ready to go. But that and injury is the only thing that really concerns me right now. But I mean, as the team is constructed, yes, I mean, this is a title contending team for sure. I think they can go up against any team in baseball right now. And that is definitely something to be excited about as the Brewers ramp up for the postseason. I got some questions from Kevin Cushing that I wanted to get to, but we'll wait till we can get Benny back on here next week to answer some of those. Like I said, I'll be on vacation the rest of the week, so we'll be back on Monday with the podcast. So have a good weekend and go Brewers. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball and Benny at Benny Rutino. Also, make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.